The prophet Isaiah tells us that if we turn back our foot from the Sabbath, from doing our own pleasures on the holy day of God, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, then we will delight in the Lord. He gives us a day in which we are called to delight. Driving around Eagle Rock, occasionally there is a vehicle that is seen that has a big giant red bumper sticker on the back window that reads, "Warning, Sunday is not the Sabbath." And then under the giant bumper sticker warning, there are a few Bible verses that are in print that is too small for me to read without getting dangerously close to the car. So I've never actually seen what Bible verses they use. But for this person with this giant bumper sticker, clearly the idea of worshiping God on Sunday and calling Sunday a day of delight unto the Lord is offensive enough where it makes a part of the vehicle's decorations. Now, the majority of Christian churches, and I would say a supermajority of Christian churches, worship God on Sunday. And this is a clear change from the Old Testament pattern to the New Testament pattern that we see in the Word of God. The accusation has sometimes been made that the Christian church before Constantine used to worship on Saturday, and then Constantine comes along and he changes the Sabbath to a Sunday instead of a Saturday because he was accommodating pagan religions within the Roman Empire. And you're going to hear that argument. That argument is often made. You might have a Seventh-day Adventist friend or a Seventh-day Baptist friend, and they may tell you that you worshiping God on Sunday is actually sin because the Sabbath is on Saturday. Now, I want to work through some of this because we as a church want to be careful about the worship of God. We only want to worship God according to what He has prescribed. Isn't that something that we talked about? Remember, we spent a lot of time in the second commandment talking about what we called regulated worship and how God has ordered worship in such a way that we are only to do that which He has called us to do. And then we come to Sunday worship, and there are those that look at us and they say, you know, you're really careful about singing psalms and you've really got this tight exegetical argument for not using instruments, but hypocrisy. That is the accusation. I want to argue today that the Christian church is a church that worships on Sunday, that we are called not to worship on Saturday as our Sabbath day, but we are called to worship God on Sunday. That is our Sabbath rest, is on Sunday, what is called the Christian Sabbath. Now, our larger catechism asks the question, what is required in the fourth commandment? And the answer, the fourth commandment requires of all men the sanctifying or keeping holy to God such set times as He has appointed in His word, expressly one day in seven, which was the seventh from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, and the first day of the week ever since, and so to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath, and the New Testament calls the Lord's Day. So why do we say that Sunday or the Lord's Day is the Christian Sabbath? Today I want to explore with you several reasons why this change has happened between the Old Testament dispensation, where the Sabbath day was what we call Saturday, and the New Testament dispensation, where the Sabbath day is what we call Sunday. And we're going to look at these reasons. And the first reason that we have within the Word of God is connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ arose from the dead on the first day of the week. That is not Saturday. That is Sunday. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7 says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay.'" Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. And the resurrection teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ entered this time of salvation for your soul, entered into this rest where salvation is complete. Salvation and all of the work that went into securing salvation for your soul has been finished and complete. Now, what does that mean? It means theologically that your rest is not something that you look forward to. It is something that you look back on. The theological connection to this is the Old Testament's Saturday service was at the end of the week, and the Jews, theologically, in the structure of their entire calendar, were a people that looked forward to redemption. It was God's intention that the Jews were always looking ahead for that which was to come, looking ahead for the salvation of their souls. But you do not have to look ahead. You have to look back. You look back to the first day of the week, the new beginning. The Sabbath changes because we no longer need to look ahead to Jesus providing us salvation. We need to look back on the salvation that was already accomplished. In the Word of God, you will see descriptions of the age. And in the Old Testament, Moses talked about all of these ceremonial things that were to continue until the end of the age. And in the New Testament, Jesus is raised from the dead, and it is the beginning of a new age. He tells us in the Great Commission that he will be with us for how long? Until the end of the age. And that age has been or is an age where the Sabbath is no longer something where we need to look ahead in hope for redemption, but instead it's something that we look back on, knowing that Jesus Christ has already secured your salvation. It is accomplished. It is finished. Jesus was risen as the Lord of the Sabbath, and he chose the first day of the week to do that. Frequently in the scriptures, these big events of redemptive history happened on the first day of the week. In the scriptures, you can do a search for the eighth day. And the eighth day, that's the first day of the week. It's the 7 days, and then you go into this next age, in a sense. And the eighth day of the week is important theologically. Circumcision begins on what the scriptures call the eighth day. Public worship begins in the tabernacle on the eighth day. That's Leviticus 9. The eighth day was the day in which solemn assemblies were often called, and the day in which solemn assemblies began in the eighth day in the Old Testament. And Ezekiel 43 points us ahead to this eighth day that's coming that will never end. And it is a day of new beginnings for the worship of God and the Lord's people. This is Jesus being raised from the dead, and the Sabbath transitions from something for which the people of God looked ahead, and it transitions to something for which we look back. So the resurrection is the first reason for this change. Secondly, we see the pattern of Jesus Christ as a reason for the change from the seventh day to the first. The pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, appears to the assembled disciples on the first day of the week. That's when Jesus chooses to appear to them. He chooses to appear to Mary on the first day of the week. He chooses to appear to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus on the first day of the week. John 20, verse 1 says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." So Mary comes, and Jesus, in redemptive format, comes and meets with her and preaches to her. And the same on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about those things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. If Jesus was concerned about maintaining the theology of the people of God worshiping on a certain day of the week, then he ought not to appear on this new day. This pattern of the disciples gathering and Jesus appearing to them, it occurred between the resurrection and the ascension, and it always happens on the first day of the week. For that entire time between resurrection and ascension, as the people of God gathered, Jesus meets with his people on the first day of the week. Again, you'll have friends that say, you know, the Christians worshiped on Saturday until Constantine comes along. Well, we read the New Testament and we see Christians gather on Sunday. They gather on the first day of the week. Jesus appeared to the assembled disciples 1 week later on the first day of the week. So he's resurrected from the dead. The people are there. Jesus meets with them. He meets with Mary. He meets with disciples on the road to Emmaus. Another week passes. The disciples had gathered together again on Sunday, and Jesus appears with them. There is where Thomas meets with Jesus, and Jesus says for Thomas to test his wounds. O. Palmer Robertson said, already a new pattern of assembly for worship is emerging. God's new covenant people are making it a habit to assemble together on the first day of the week, the day of Christ's resurrection. And Jesus honored these assemblies by appearing to the disciples at this time and encouraging their faith in him as the resurrected Lord. Psalm 72 reminds us that as the people of God gather from week to week, that the Lord is there in the midst of them. The New Testament applies that psalm to the Lord Jesus Christ being gathered with the people of God in those special assemblies that we sometimes call church or service. Jesus is gathered with the church on Sunday as they meet. You know, Matthew 18, where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That is in the context of the assembly of the church, gathered from Sunday to Sunday, year in and year out, 2,000 years passing, following the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we worship on Sunday because the resurrection happens on Sunday. We worship on Sunday because the Lord Jesus meets with the people of God in a special way on Sunday and commanded the people to be gathered together to worship on Sunday. And thirdly, we worship on Sunday because it is the day in which the Spirit of God is given to the church. Jesus met with the people of God on the first day of the week, and then he is resurrected, he is ascended, and he tells the church to wait for the Comforter, to wait for the Spirit of God who would come. In Acts 2, you remember that the people of God are gathered on a holiday, on a special holiday of the Old Testament liturgy, and that day is Pentecost. And Pentecost means 50. And that 50 that Pentecost means is referring to the 50 days after the Sabbath of Passover. So 49 days spans 7 Jewish Sabbaths. And then the 50th day is Pentecost, and that is a Sunday, the first day of the week. And the Spirit of God, as the people of God were called to gather on Pentecost, which is that day that was a celebration of the harvest, the people of God were gathered there in that upper room, and Jesus pours out his Spirit on the people of God, and they are baptized with the Spirit of God. And I love to always say this, when they're baptized, it's the Spirit rests on their head. They're not fully immersed when they're baptized by the Spirit, but the Spirit rests on their head. That's what Acts 2 says. And that is Pentecost, when the church, in a fresh way, receives this blessing from Jesus Christ, where the church is equipped to go out with the Spirit and to call men and women, boys and girls, unto Jesus Christ. And again, what day does this happen? It is Sunday. It is not Saturday. The church's time of beginning with the outpouring of the Spirit of God is a Sunday. The apostles were gathered for preaching and teaching. They were gathered together for worship, for prayers, for the singing of psalms. And God further solidifies this pattern that is to be the pattern of the New Testament church, the transition between Saturday to Sunday for when we are to worship. So we see the resurrection of Jesus. We see the pattern of Jesus. The third is the Spirit is given to the church on Sunday. And then lastly, we see the pattern of the apostles as well. Acts 20, verse 7 says, "On the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, preaching, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his sermon until midnight." That is the pattern of the New Testament church. The New Testament preachers called together the people of God on Sunday to gather, to hear the sermons, to hear the preaching of God, to pray and to sing, to break bread and to fellowship. And this occurred not on Saturday for the church, but for the church on a Sunday. And this first day of the week, the Sunday, we see that as the Gentile mission goes on, that this pattern continues, that this switch from Saturday to Sunday was not something that was just for the Jewish believers. Sometimes you'll hear, well, the reason that the Christians worshiped on Sunday was because they had to worship on Saturday in the Jewish church, and that forced them to worship God through Christ on a different day. That is not the case. As the Apostle Paul goes into the Gentile world, he brings Sunday worship with him as the pattern. He does not bring Saturday Sabbath. He brings Sunday Sabbath, the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. The first day of the week was used as the time for Christians to assemble for worship. In Greece, Paul and Luke assembled with the people of God, and they broke bread and they heard preaching on the first day of the week. And this is also testified to in 1 Corinthians 16. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also are you to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and to store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. It seems advisable that I should go also. They will accompany me." So Paul tells the church in Corinth to do their collecting of tithes and offerings on Sunday. He says, the first day of the week, give your tithes, give your offerings. Now, it seems if the church was still worshiping on Saturday, that the practical thing to say would be to tell them to bring their offering on Saturday. But Paul specifically says to bring it on the first day of the week. And he says it's the pattern for Corinth, and it's also the pattern for Galatia. So this becomes, or this is seen, evidence as the pattern of the Gentile church. Sunday worship, Sunday collection happening. This is the day they gathered for public worship. It would be very impractical if our deacons told us that, say, Thursdays between noon and 3 p.m., the church building was open and the deacons would like you to bring your tithes and offerings on Thursday between noon and 3 p.m. And you say, well, I'm not going to be there on Thursday between noon and 3 p.m. You say, well, that's what the deacons decided. That's when you are to bring your offering to the church. Well, that wouldn't make any sense. It would be impractical for our deacons to ask that of us. It is practical to say, bring your offering on Sunday, because the people of God are already gathered on Sunday. They're gathering for worship, in singing, and in prayer, and in praise. It is the day that they are gathered for public worship. And you and I are to keep this pattern of the day, this pattern of Sunday worship, this apostolic pattern of worshiping God publicly on Sunday. Now you might say, well, you know, we don't really see the phrase Sabbath used in the New Testament. We could go to Hebrews and we could argue for Sabbath being used. There is a Sabbath rest that remains for the people of God. But what I want to do is show you one other thing. I want to show you where John in Revelation chapter 1 says that he is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And that's the phrase he uses in Revelation chapter 1. He is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now that phrase, the Lord's Day, it's the first time in the New Testament that we see that phrase used, that term used. And it is a day that we know points to the Lord Jesus. It is the Lord Jesus that he is referring to, the Lord's Day. It is the day in which he was raised from the dead. So there are those within the New Testament church that don't really like the phrase Christian Sabbath, or don't use the phrase Sabbath, and they use the phrase Lord's Day. Well, that's fine. It's a biblical phrase. It's a fine biblical phrase. But I want you to understand the biblical theology of what's going on here as John uses this language. He is pointing us back to the Old Testament when he uses this phrase. Again, listen to Isaiah 58. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the day holy of the Lord honorable. See, what John is doing in this apostolic pattern where we go from Saturday to Sunday, from Sabbath to Lord's Day, or Sabbath to Christian Sabbath, what John is doing is he's taking this phrase, the Lord's Day, which in the Old Testament is a reference to delighting in the Lord, delighting in the God of the Bible, delighting in the covenant-keeping God of the Scriptures, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And we call the Sabbath a delight. And John is saying, here I am in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, having fellowship with the Lord, delighting in the Lord. And he wants us to think back, my day, the Lord's Day. Isaiah 58 uses this terminology. And what does it use it for? It uses it for a day called the Sabbath. There is a Sabbath that remains for the people of God. And it is not a Saturday. You are free to work on Saturday. You are free to do whatever your heart's desire is on Saturday. The day set apart for the Lord in the New Testament is the Lord's Day. That day that is holy of the Lord. That day that is the delight of the people of God. So the pattern is set. The church in the New Testament is a church that worshiped on Sundays. And the Lord's Day transition from Saturday to Sunday, for sound theological reasons, as well as to commemorate the resurrection of the Lord, and that pattern continues in Jesus demonstrating it and in the Spirit being given on that day and in the apostles showing us that pattern for the Christian church of all time. Again, you will hear that the Sabbath was changed under Constantine. You will hear that from people that are sincere, but people that are sincerely wrong. The Sabbath does not change in the 300s as a way to appease gods of the Roman Empire. The Sabbath changes in the New Testament to appease Jesus Christ, the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath, the one in whom you are to delight, the one that is worthy of your praise and worthy of my praise, the one after whom the day is now named the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, the day of your delight. Amen.